Hello and welcome. I'm Sofiko and this is Creative Minds Speaking, a podcast where I have conversations with creative industry professionals, bringing into the spotlight those incredible people who are behind the scenes of art and entertainment is the main goal of this podcast. In today's episode, I'm very happy to chat with Alex Edwards. She's based in New York. She's a content protection representative at Universal Music Group, which means that she does anti-piracy, copyright, and trademark infringements across social media platforms, which I think is super important. And I would love to know more about everything. So thank you for coming, Alex. I'm so happy to have you on the show.
Yeah, I'm happy to be here.
How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm quarantining in New York, so I've been in my apartment for like the past 10 days, but no complaints. Working from home, living from home, doing everything from home.
Yeah, I feel you. So let's start then. I would love to start with your background. So if you could share your story with us, that would be great.
Sure. So I kind of got interested in the business side of music when I was a sophomore in college. I studied political science at the University of Michigan, and I recently decided I didn't want to be a dentist anymore, so I needed to find something to interest me. I've always loved music, grew up singing a lot, so I heard about a class called Music Business, and I decided to just take it on a whim, took the class. It was the most amazing class I ever had. I learned a lot more about the business offerings in the music industry and that you could still have a legitimate career in music, or a more secure one, instead of just having to be on the stage. So I got a minor in performing arts management, and through that minor I got to take a lot of classes like legal issues in the arts, understanding the parts of the music industry that were in like the nonprofit sector. So after that, I interned at the Kennedy Center in DC. I worked in institutional affairs, and that really opened my eyes in like cultural diplomacy, figuring out ways to blend both of my interests in legal issues, policy, and then also the arts, understanding that it could be used as a tool. And after my internship, then I applied to Berklee College of Music, and I got my master's in global entertainment and music business with you. And yes. While I was there, I got a lot of exposure to the other side of the industry, focusing on like publishing. I got to work with Disruption, the independent record label on campus. So that gave me a lot of exposure and understanding how labels work. I found out from that experience that I needed to work at a major because I was definitely a better fit for that. After graduation, I moved to New York and I got a job at Universal Music Group, and I have been there ever since.
That's incredible. So was it hard for you to land a job at New York, because this is one of the most competitive cities, especially when it comes to music business?
I won't say that it was easy. I definitely think that there's always this combination, this formula where it's like hard work plus a little bit of luck in the universe working in your favor. And, you know, I think that in addition to like certain network connections that I have, like it's always important to, you know, have people in your circle that work for a variety of different companies that can, you know, hopefully put you in the right direction. So for me, I actually applied to about probably like 700 jobs. Yes. And that's the thing too, that a lot of people don't realize, is you really have to cast your net wide. You know, you could be the best applicant for a lot of jobs, but you're competing with a lot of other great people. So it's always better to apply to way more jobs just to make sure that you, you know, cover all your bases. And I wanted to humble myself. And I definitely think the hiring process is a humbling experience, because, you know, you can get caught up in like, well, I have all this stuff on my resume, of course they're going to pick me. It's like, yeah, but, you know, there are other things that play a role. So I applied to like 700 jobs. I was actually being recruited by a large tech company, but I kind of decided like right around graduation time that, even though, like, you know, great company, great pay, I didn't go and get a master's in music business to not work in the music industry. So just tried to realign my goals, and then I adjusted accordingly, reached out to some people that went to undergrad with me that worked at companies that I was applying to. And, you know, those referrals are helpful. But the thing about referrals is, like, you have to make sure you actually have a rapport with that person, because when they are, you know, asked by the company, they need to be able to have something tangible to talk about. It doesn't matter if you're LinkedIn connections with them. Like, you need an actual relationship with a person where they can attest to your abilities. Like, perhaps you worked on a project with them or something. So it's really important to maintain those professional relationships with people.
Yeah, this is so true. I'm happy you said that. You mentioned earlier that while being at Berkeley, you realized that working in a major would be a good fit for you. So could you please tell a little bit more about it? Like, what do you mean by that? And also, how do you like working for a major in general?
Okay. So I think one of the conversations that we always had on campus was majors versus minors. And I think it really just comes down to what you value at that time in your life. So I know that when I worked at the independent label, there were pros and there were cons. The pros were, when you have a small group of people working on projects, you definitely have the ability to develop a closer rapport with all the people in your company. Like, you're very familiar with each other. There really isn't a hierarchy in the arrangement that you all have as far as, like, roles go. You also have the ability to try things, because it's really very minimal risk that you can take when you do certain projects. You also get creative, because you're like, look, I have these few resources, I'm going to make the most out of it. And you really surprise yourself what you can do with a small budget. The negatives, I say, are you have a small budget. Like, you really have to try and make wine out of a few grapes. And it's just, like, very stressful sometimes, because, you know, the resources would definitely make your life a lot easier. Because you have a small team, you know, you can feel overwhelmed and have to juggle multiple hats at the same time. And also, it's really difficult to try and create, you know, really impactful events with a small budget, because, you know, you get what you pay for. And for me, I saw the benefits of working for a major company are for sure those resources, and not just financial, you know, but the resources that you have as far as people. Like, usually these companies are led by some of the most impactful people in the music industry, people that have acclaimed success. The artists that work with them are successful, you know, for a reason. And I really look at it as you get a smaller piece of a bigger pie at a major. When you work at a minor, you get a bigger piece of a smaller pie. And for me, I wanted the bigger pie. And, like, I have very, you know, specific goals towards, you know, what I'd like to see for my career. And I think that for me, the major was definitely a better fit. I love working at the majors. I mean, you get to see, like, what the, I guess, characteristics of success are. You get to learn, you know, the formula. You get to work and collaborate with teams that have artists that have influenced the entire world. And I love that. Like, I work with, you know, some particular artist projects, and I've gotten to get close with their teams, and it's incredible, because you grow up listening to these people, and now you get to, you know, collaborate with their, like, managers and help manage people's estates and see the inside. And there's really no greater feeling. And then also, during such a tumultuous time facing the world, you know, my company's done a great job of taking care of me. Like, I mean, I can't thank them enough for just the resources and the reaching out. And a lot of people have, unfortunately, you know, lost their jobs or had cuts and things like that. And my company has maintained the same level of, you know, professionalism the entire time. They've given us so many resources while we've been working from home, giving us a ton of work from home equipment, and being very lenient with, like, our sick policies and things, so we have the appropriate resources to take care of our families and ourselves. And I don't think that if I worked for a different company that would happen. And then two, I'm, you know, really blessed to be at the number one record label in the world, in my opinion. But number one company for sure. But yeah, it's definitely a pleasure because I know a lot of people that are equally as talented and educated that I think could be here. And I'm grateful that, you know, the cards were in my favor so that I landed here.
That's, I love to hear that they take such a good care for you, especially at these times. So let's talk a little bit more about the specifics of the role that you have. Mm-hmm. So could you please tell what are your responsibilities at the current position and maybe how your regular day at work looks like?
Okay. So for me, I am a content protection representative, and I work on a couple of special projects because I have a background that is a little different from my teammates. But overall, we utilize data and translate the numbers so that they are of relevance to the company. We focus on copyright infringement, trademark infringement. So we collaborate with every label under the UMG umbrella to make sure that proper licensing agreements are followed. For example, I work on an apps team. So myself and a few other people, we work with lawyers and we monitor apps in other countries and we report, I guess, counts of infringement in order to, you know, develop licensing agreements or conduct ourselves accordingly. I've done some translation projects in the past for some of our Latin artists, so I've been able to use my language skills. I also helped to manage the Beatles project, so I've been able to work on that with their team directly and managing the content that they have and working with the Prince Estate. That's been really cool. Anytime there are like leaks that happen, like songs that are released before they're supposed to, we work directly with like the managers of the artists in order to make sure that the artist's vision comes to fruition, that nothing is released before it's supposed to be released. So I think a lot of that, working with the creative teams in order to protect their intellectual property and ensure that, you know, nothing gets released before it's supposed to be. So I like to call it like a fusion of like data analytics and legal, because we are under the legal umbrella, but we utilize like data and I guess like visualization tools in order to translate that information.
Mm-hmm. And could you please, maybe in general, tell to those who don't know how all those content regulations on the internet work, because it's true that many people use songs when they shouldn't use them and put something online, but also I think that a lot of people just don't know how it all works. So could you please tell something about that and maybe how those regulations vary among different platforms?
Sure. Okay. So very similarly to what you said, it's really dependent on the platform. So every social media platform, like every major social media platform, has licensing agreements with certain companies. And that's basically an allowance for the usage of certain content that the company owns. So it's like a lease, you know, we are allowing you to use this for this specific purpose. So for example, there is no licensing agreement with Twitter right now with our label. And because of that, anytime any content is used that we haven't approved, it's immediately going to be flagged through Twitter. And that means that Twitter has to pay us an agreed upon amount before we allow people to post any of the music we own on there. And if they don't, you know, people are going to constantly get flagged. But the reason that people, you know, might get a takedown notice is not because the label is trying to punish them. It's because they're trying to force the, I guess, the middle party, Twitter, they're trying to force them to pay, rightfully so, for the usage, because, you know, the artists that we represent are creating projects that are very important to them. They are, you know, helping to move the company forward, and the company is paying for lots of other people's livelihood. So, you know, it might seem like a small thing, like, oh, well, it's just one song. Yeah, but at the end of the day, you have to respect the creation process. You have to, you know, respect the art that is being created. The art is priceless. So the least, you know, that the companies that are not paying these license agreements can do are, you know, pay for being able to have that music on there. And some companies we already have partnerships with. For example, you know, with Instagram, if you go to Instagram now and you decide to post a reel, you know, there are certain songs that are in their catalog that you can use without getting it taken down. Like when the Ariana Grande Positions album came out, there were certain songs that had already been approved because Instagram came to a licensing agreement with UMG, and now you're allowed to post that music.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it really just comes down to an agreement between the labels and the platforms. And when they have agreements, you can use the music under these circumstances. And when, you know, it's without an agreement, then you can't use it. But that's not to say never, you know, we're hopeful that they'll come to an agreement, but, you know, it takes some time.
So, for example, if somebody uses, Ariana's music on Twitter, and it's going to be like several seconds and it's not monetized anyway, it will be taken down, right?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. And how do you guys... looking for all this stuff, do you have a special program or how it works?
There are a variety of tools that we use. We do have some technology where it uses audio fingerprint technology to scan for certain infringing links. Not gonna, you know, say what they are, but we do have like a lot of software programs that are through our tech team, and they use those means in order to discover infringement. But sometimes it comes directly from, you know, other methods of research. But yeah, I think it's better to say a combination of those two.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And is there a certain song that have been used a lot lately and gave you a lot of headache?
Let's see, what song have I gotten a lot of headache from recently? Well, I'll say the most salient one to me, I think, is definitely when Yummy came out by Justin Bieber. Like, not recent, but like, I literally remember when the album came out because it was just, oh my God, like every 5 seconds I would hear the song. So I get a little triggered now. I mean, it's a good song. It's a great song, but it's just like, oh, dear God, like, why won't it stop? But yeah, I mean, there are a couple that stick out. Like, I remember the... Blackpink album that came out, like that was a big thing, and I worked with that team directly. But I mean, we have, and that's the thing, it's like there are so many hits that we have that are very, very globally popular that it's really easy, you know, for every day to be a different one. Like I remember when Drake's Tussie Slide came out, like, oh my God, like that was a big one. But yeah, I mean, it never stops, honestly. There's always
I can imagine. So what would you say are your life highlights, like in general life highlights and career-wise highlights?
Like starting when?
Whenever you want.
Okay. I mean, how many are we talking? I've had a good life, you know, so like, can we just do for like the last year? Because I feel like that might be.
Yeah. Okay. Let's do last year.
Okay. Last year, I'd say the biggest highlights for me were I was able to intern for an amazing attorney named Jaya Thomas, who is the president and founder of Diverse Representation. That's also really important to me, being able to incorporate, you know, my personal interests and advocacy into, you know, my passion for music. So that was an incredible experience working with her. And I also, I guess I accomplished some personal fitness goals of mine. I really got into like health and wellness and stuff once I moved to New York. I got a personal trainer, and then I became a vegan, and in that process I've lost like 25 pounds, so that's been really good. Because I think,
wow, that's so incredible.
Thank you. I think your wellness definitely impacts your, you know, ability to master life. And that's not just about, you know, working. It's about creating the life that you want overall. So that's been really good. And I've been really active in my Forbes community. And I got featured in a Forbes article in the last, like 2 months ago, I think. And I got asked to participate in their ag tech hackathon, so I got mentioned in the article on Forbes now, and also was featured in the video, so that was really cool.
Wow, Alex, that is incredible.
Thank you. And I got a new apartment, so that's really exciting. It's definitely a step up from my dorm in Valencia, so that's cool. And I guess the last thing I'd say is that I've been really active on Clubhouse recently, and I created a vegan club on there called Black Vegans Unite, and it's the third largest vegan group on Clubhouse now, so that's been really amazing. I've been able to host some really great conversations, and I have quite a few members on the club, so that was really, I guess, a highlight that was very close to the end of the year that I wasn't expecting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So proud of you.
Thank you. I appreciate you.
That's incredible, Alex. I really love to hear all that about you, because especially last year was very tough fun, and hearing about your accomplishments is just very heartwarming. How would you define a success for yourself?
Success. I think that for me, success is being at peace with yourself and being able to, you know, walk away from life once you are, you know, done with that mission, and you can confidently say that you made the world better than you found it. I think that's really what success is. It's not about you. It's not about money. It's not about things. I think it's definitely measured in impact and seeing how you were able to positively influence people.
Love it how you said it. Thank you for sharing. At the end, unfortunately, we have to slowly wrap up. At the end, I ask some very quick questions. Some of them are silly, so get ready. Do you have any book, movie, and song recommendations for our listeners?
Yeah.
One of each, maybe.
Okay, yeah, sure. So, song recommendation, I definitely would say Fever by Dua Lipa and Angèle. She's a French pop star. I absolutely love that song. As far as the books go, I would say, probably... I'm trying to think of who the book is by so that I can. Okay, As a Man Thinketh, that's a great book. It's by James Allen. It's a really old book, but it's super short and very, very impactful. But it's As a Man Thinketh. And TV recommendations? I would say I really love Jingle Jangle on Netflix. Like, it was an incredible Christmas movie, but like, it really warmed my heart. They had some elements of like the importance of like kids liking, you know, engineering, science, and math, and making it cool, but also like creativity. I thought that was really great. That's like a Netflix movie. But I also watched Soul. You know what? I'm going to switch it. I'm going to say Soul on Netflix. I think it's on Disney Plus. Yes.
Yeah.
And I think that one was great because it helps people to understand that your career is not what makes you as an individual. Like, it's really important for you to be at peace with yourself. It's really important for you to find your purpose, you know what I mean? Instead of just like a title, like you're more than what you present yourself to be. And like, in order for you to really master life, you have to figure out what that purpose is.
Mm-hmm. That's very important. Thank you for all the recommendations.
Yeah.
Who is your celebrity crush?
Dwayne The Rock Johnson. I can say that without even any hesitation. The Rock.
Okay. What is the most useless talent that you have?
Ooh, the most useless?
Yes. I know you have a lot of useful talents, but the most... how about useless?
Wow, that's so okay, let's see. The most useless talent that I have. I have never been asked that question before. I'm kind of ambidextrous. So, like, my dad is left-handed and my mom's right-handed, so I do a lot of things both left-handed and right-handed. And like, like my mom recently revealed to me that I only stir left-handed. And I was like, what are you talking about? And then I went to like go stir some tea and I was like, holy crap, she's right. So yeah, I only can like stir and like do cooking things with like my left-handedness, which is
really that's funny. So interesting.
Like I write with my right hand, and but I do have all the cooking stuff with my left hand.
Well, that's interesting. And the last one, the last question that I love to end the episode with is, who inspires you the most?
Who inspires me the most? To be honest, oh man, that is hard. Who inspires me the most? Okay. As far as, that is a hard one. Okay. I mean, I hate to sound like stereotypical. The first person that came to mind would definitely be Beyonce, but I'm not going to take that. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do the Beyonce one because I'm sure that's what people would expect. But honestly, I think I'm going to say Stevie Wonder because I love that man with all my heart. I've decided I'm going to meet him, in this lifetime for sure. But he's from the same, city that I'm from. He's from Detroit. And he also actually went to the same elementary school that I went to. And he has, he went to Fitzgerald and he's been able to accomplish the unimaginable, and he has a physical impairment, and he has not allowed that to stop him from accomplishing anything. And also, like, he's not just like a prodigy, he's a multi-instrumentalist, he's an activist, artist extraordinaire, and he's a polyglot. Like, he just does so many things. But I think the most impactful thing to me is, one, that he's faced lots of hardship, but he hasn't let that harden him. Two, that he is, very loyal to the city that he's from because community is essential, and he's always giving back to the city of Detroit, which is something that I want to do. And thirdly, he's been able to use music as a tool to, like, change the world. Like, he doesn't just use the notes that he plays on a piano to tickle people's ears, warm their hearts. He's been able to change people's perspectives of the world. And, he's written songs for some very difficult parts of history, and like his Happy Birthday to Dr. King, like that song is really important for so many reasons, but he's been able to, inform people in other countries on why, this is a big deal. And I just love that because I think at the end of the day, music is supposed to bring people together. It shouldn't matter, what they look like or where they're from. It's all about like the shared feeling that we have as humans. And I feel like he's mastered that.
Definitely. We have a lot to learn from this man.
And yeah, he's blind and he plays the piano better. And I can see the keys. Like, it's just offensive how amazing he is.
Yeah. Well, he's a genius. What can we say? Well, Alex, thank you so much. Thank you for all the interesting information you shared with us. It was a pleasure to learn more about what you do. It was a pleasure to learn about your journey. You're such an incredible professional in music industry and just as a human being. So thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate you. And I think you're doing some incredible things. And I'm looking forward to the rest of the episodes that you release.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.